anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet. Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look!
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Not what?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Welcome one, welcome all, and it is that time for Roundtable Live here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Be rolling on until 4 a.m. in the morning Eastern Time. New ideas, different hosts every night, different subjects every night. You never know what's going to happen right here at the Roundtable Live. King Arthur has nothing on us. We're going round and round.
Welcome to Wild at Heart Roundtable Show. This is Noreen Halpan, and I'm broadcasting to you live from Southern California, where it is 9 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And on the Revolution Radio schedule for Studio A, this show is listed as 12 midnight Tuesday. But that all depends. That would be Eastern Standard Time, by the way. However, it all depends on where you're at globally, right? So you could be in a different time zone completely, and I'm just not mentioning it, right? So, you know, this is kind of funky, right? Like, how the world is, right? Like, it could be, like, any time of the day or night, and we're on the internet, and we're sitting here, and we're sharing information. So, to me, I think that's really cool. I mean, how unique is that, right? I mean, that's, like, totally different. It's really... something to do with our age that we're living in, that we can even, you know, reach out way, way, way across the globe at any time, you know, literally, like any time, and just communicate freely. I mean, there's probably a little bit of a delay, like, you know, what do you call it, audio delay, you know, stuff like that. But, yeah, no, it's a testament to the age, you know, that we live in, and that we have Revolution Radio. It's one of the premier internet radio stations. If you want to call it radio, I guess you could. You know, yeah, these terms change all the time with, you know, with technology. They really do. They change. They don't stay, whatever, you know, the same. And that's just the way it goes. But this is a unique venue, right? I mean, it really is. And honestly, we've been here a decade. And that's longer than a lot of stations, you know, to be quite honest. So that's also a testament. It really is a special thing, you know. So with that, I would like to ask you to donate money to keep this information machine going. And you could do that by going to the top of the page where it says donations. There's a field there. It's at the very top. It's like there's... store, donations, auctions, management, etc. And just hit donations, and you could pay with credit card. You know, any kind of denomination you wish, any amount is great. It's highly appreciated to keep Revolution Radio going. And yeah, I have a lot to talk about tonight, actually. But first, I want to say hello to my friend Nick. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Maureen. Thanks for having me.
Hi. Hope everything's well. I know you've been working very hard.
Yeah, I've been pulled in about 10 different directions, you know. You get shopped out from relative to relative. Hey, fix this, fix this.
Yeah. And, you know, let me just say this for those who envy him right now because maybe you're out of a job. Nick is a very humble person. He's very appreciative of all the job offers that he has. Okay, I'm reading it. But, you know, he's getting a lot of work. And it's very physical work. So, you know, it's not always easy. But I think he's grateful he has it. It's just that it's a lot of work. You know, I know what he's going through every day. So, you know, this is just what it is. You know, it's some of you are out of work. Some of you are working a lot, right? All kinds of situations going on right now. Now I'm having a sip of my coffee here. So hold on. Anyway, so that reminds me, the reason I'm drinking coffee tonight, which I'm not saying I have never done on this show. How many times have I done it? You know, hey, right? It's not, it's funny. You know, it's not the first. It's definitely many times. But, you know, today, however, I have to say I drank a lot of caffeine, different forms of caffeine, tea, coffee, whatever, because, I mean, I'm fine now, but honestly, you guys, me being the astrologer type, I'm aware of all the energies that are going on, okay, and we just went through a major eclipse, solar eclipse in Cancer, okay, this is like the day before yesterday. And then we are in Mercury retrograde. Yes, I know, you know, I've spoken about that before whenever it comes up. And that also happens to be in the sign of Cancer, just like the eclipse we had. Excuse me. So I've noticed what's interesting about that for me is that I've been sleepy. Now, I'm not sleepy right now because I'm like fine, but I was very relaxed the last day or two, which is okay. Because I went to drive kind of far to do some work the day prior to that, you know, that kind of thing. So it's okay. You know, I'm not saying that it's like unwarranted that I take a little bit of a more of a longer snooze or a nap, because of that. But however, I was actually surprised that I was like that. And also surprised that I was hungrier than normal the last couple days. And I do attribute that to the planets. I'm sorry. I know it sounds like an excuse, but it really isn't. Because, you know, really, I've been pretty good with my food intake. I'm not really overeating generally at all. The last couple days, and again, I'm not overeating. Even the last few days, I haven't been overeating, but I've been eating more. Just a little bit more volume of food I noticed in the last couple of days. And I know it has to do with the eclipse, okay? Reason I'll explain this to you guys is because Cancer, the sign Cancer, you know, where the eclipse was in that sign. And we also have Mercury retrograde in Cancer, but that's okay, whatever. So a lot of Cancerian energy. Cancer does rule food. It rules nurturing, nutrition, food, okay, generally. So, you know, it's a water sign like Scorpio and Pisces. And when the moon goes into Cancer, just like it, just, you know, I mean, like I said, in any water sign or even an earth sign like Taurus, that's a very foody sign too. So Cancer will make you hungry. And with his eclipse and the Mercury there and all this stuff, I just think it tipped off a lot of people. I was looking at astrology message boards and people were saying, I've been so sleepy. I've been so tripped out. I've had weird dreams. You know, drinking certain things more than normal. And I'm like, yeah, I'm on page with you guys because that's what I've been doing. And, you know, but today I did something unusual. I really doubled up on the caffeine because I said to myself, you know, I got to get my ball. Even though normally I'm not a big fan of overdoing caffeine, okay? But I just had to just jumpstart myself in a way that I maybe normally wouldn't regularly. So I just slammed myself with caffeine today, sort of. So, hey, you know, it's cool. It's working and it's putting me back in the mode. Hi, Vegas 808H Power. She's saying, I'm on a blind diet. It's June 3rd and my hunger has increased. Yes, this has to do. And thank you, SJ. He's saying, awesome touch with astrology there. Yeah, no, seriously, this Cancer thing is going to affect you guys differently. Also, on the message boards, people were saying, I'm more, you know, this is an astrology message board. Okay, people were saying, I've been crying more than ever. Cancer is an emotional sign ruled by the moon. So yeah, you're going to be weepy, maybe sad, sentimental. What else? Hungrier. What else? maybe kind of a busybody or watching over people a lot. Yeah, I mean, I'm getting messages from people. I'm sorry, I'm not really able to respond too much now because I don't like to get too distracted, but I'm just going to put thumbs up to some of my people that are listening right now and responding to what I'm saying, which is like really cool. Yeah. Okay, so that's all. Anyway, as I was saying, so that's what's going on with me. But I don't feel guilty because, again, this is not my normal, quote, reaction to this. So I just had to just amp up on the caffeine. So I am drinking even a coffee right now. But, you know, earlier I had tea that had a lot of caffeine. I had an energy drink, but not your standard Monster or nothing like that. And then I had this other thing. So, you know, I had a bunch of things. I also had this thing called Amped. But actually, I had that yesterday two times. So I thought to myself, no, I better kind of ease up on that one and save it. So it was more like coffees and stuff. But yeah, so, you know, that's what's going on. A lot of this Cancerian energy is going to be different. So I will get back to astrology in a moment. Oh, Mercury retrograde. Please, you guys, this is until July 12th. And I don't like to scare people. I've said this a million times during this period of a retrograde of Mercury. It's not about scaring people or telling you never do anything. But seriously, when it comes to things that have to do with technology, electronics, try not to either buy them, try not to install them, or, you know, that kind of thing during this time. Because I have an electronic device on the way, but I ordered it just before the retrograde, okay? But I'm not going to install it until the retrograde's done. So, you know, that kind of thing. And also signing contracts, yeah, that depends too. If it's a big purchase, like a home or something, or a car, no. Be kind of careful of those things. But especially things to do with technology, which you really have to watch out for. So anyway, yeah, that's until the July 12th. Other than that, there's a lot of planets that are retrograde anyway, which means what I take from that is a lot of feeling of reflection about what you're doing, especially because of Mercury being retrograde in your daily life. A lot of reviewing, which is a good thing. You really should review during any Mercury retrograde, but especially with Cancer, because this has to do with your home. Cancer rules home. So I would be reviewing like things around the house. This is a perfect time, really perfect time, you guys, to do this. Go through your photo albums if you want to, what do you call it, arrange your pictures, right? Whether they be on your wall or in your photo album, you know, you might want to do some of that. Or, oh, by the way, I want to say happy birthday to Heather Holman. Today is her birthday. I'm sorry to say that. She's a Cancer too. Anyway, so getting back to the home life and the organization. Yeah, this is a good time. Really good time to organize your home. Okay? So if you've got pictures, photo albums, especially anything sentimental, you know, but even just anything in the home, just it's really good to start organizing your kitchen. Again, Cancer and food, all that. So you might want to do something like this, just a suggestion, okay? Let's say you've got a bedroom. You got photo albums or pictures and frames, but you don't like how it looks, or you can't organize and find the date of your grandmother's picture or so-and-so or whatever. So now's the time to go through everything and, okay, you know what? I think I want to flip my pictures around and actually put little post-its with the dates. You know, say this is grandma in this year. And then that way I feel like, okay, I could like spot it or something, you know, whatever is, if you have disorganization amongst your photographs or your scrapbooks or whatever, good time to organize scrapbooks like that. See, that kind of thing. I want to get to, or if you have like, you know, anything to do with home decor, yeah, you want to maybe organize that. And I want to get to the kitchen because again, Cancer, food, nurturing, right, food. So let's say you have a kitchen issue right now, which, hey, a lot of people do. But right now would be the time not so much to make big investments because, again, we want to stay away from big investments right now. So I wouldn't be like into the revamping of your whole kitchen on a high-end price range situation. I would do more of this. Now is a good time to say you go into your kitchen and you take stock and you look around. You go, you know, you don't have to spend a lot of money. It's more like, oh my God, you know what? That bread bin or that cabinet, it needs to be fixed. The latch is loose. I think I better tighten the screw on the latch. I think I'm going to put some wallpaper inside to make it look more pleasant. Maybe it's a good time to clean your kitchen. Oh, you know, I think I'll clean it before I redecorate it or revamp the handles or the latches or, clean out your refrigerator. Bingo. Perfect time. Cancer, food, you know, nurturing. Hey, I'm going to go through my food in my refrigerator and pantry and get rid of stuff I'm not eating or is too old and organize it and maybe even paint your cupboards and make them look pretty. You know, you want to do things because you want to also think about convenience, right? So then you're thinking, okay, well, I also want things to be more convenient, not just pretty, but you want them to be clean and convenient as well as attractive. So you could go, well, you know, maybe it's time for me to put all my spices on this side of the other cabinet instead of, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's just like, so, what do you call it? I don't know. This is interesting to me because there's so many ways to look at how to do things. I'm always amazed by this, right? I don't know. It's just, because it's all up to the individual too, right? You know, so you got that aspect. So just, it's up to what, you know, what you want to do, but it's a good time to be looking at your kitchen, seriously. The bathroom, yeah, because Cancer is a water sign and yeah, you got your bathroom. So why not? Yeah. Why don't you take a look at your bathroom and say, you know what, it needs to be cleaned, spruced up. Maybe I'm going to put new shower curtains or people sometimes have extra shower curtains, right? You might have one in your garage that maybe looks better than the one you have now. Oh, I think I'm going to change shower curtains. You know, that kind of stuff. I'm going to put different towels in, different, you know, hand towels in than I used to. Maybe it's time to even paint some flowers on the cabinets, on my, I don't know, whatever. Or Cancer rules the ocean, seashells. I think I'm going to put a mermaid with, you know, seashells surrounding her, a little, you know, little statue, maybe in the corner of the bathroom counter, stuff like that. You know, and then getting back to the kitchen, the same theme. Well, I don't mean like a sea theme in your kitchen, but, you know, and then what else? The rest of the house. Yeah, just go through it and go. Cancer rules comfort too, by the way, just like Taurus. So that's another thing you could do. Say, how can I make my home more comfortable? Keyword there. Seriously. Okay. Yeah, I'm not kidding you on that at all. This is interesting. yeah, it's really interesting because you can make, yeah, I would just look at it like, how can I make my home comfortable? So you might want to think about pillows. Like, oh my God, you know, I want to put more pillows on the couch in the living room, den, whatever. Or you may even want to remove things that you don't feel are comfortable, right? Think about that one too. That's another strategy. That couch or that seat is not comfortable. I'm going to make it comfortable or get rid of it. Something like that, okay? So, and then here goes your food again. You want your food to be, well, comfort food, yeah, but you don't want to be too unhealthy. So make sure you take stock of what your food supply is like. The whole thing with Cancer has to do with these issues. So that's a good time to really organize, remodel, rethink how to make your home comfortable, healthy, safe, pretty. Seriously, I'm not kidding. This is the perfect time to do it. This summer, if you need to do it, if you need to do these things I just mentioned, make it a point to do it this summer. I'm telling you, you will not regret it. You know, with the COVID, there's still a lot of people that are maybe unemployed, whatever. So yeah, if you have the free time and you still haven't gotten around to this, this is a really good time to do this. You know, your backyard even. If you have a pool, hey, that you already got your water. Cancer is a water sign. But if you want to maybe create a little fountain with rocks, you know, and you make it, design it the way that you like, and you add more water in your environment. Or plants, like have more plants that releases oxygen and moisture that you need for your body, right? So these are all things that you know that could be done. And I'm talking about this because of the fact that we have a lot of intense astrological aspects right now. We really do. You know, obviously since January, it's been insane, right? 2020. But, and I've mentioned this before, but it is reflecting in the cosmos. What's been going on this year? literally. So the thing is, you know, again, because we have so much intensity and challenges and weirdness going on, right? What better time than to focus on making your home a beautiful retreat for yourself and those who live in your home, okay? You have to think almost like that. The home is your retreat. Now, here's another, I hate to be negative. You might have a problem with someone that lives in your home, whether it be family, partner, roommate, whatever, because their idea of comfort or what looks good or might be completely different than yours, right? So because we have a lot of intensity going on in the planets, this is my suggestion. As if you feel, now everyone's got a different situation where they live. Some people can do what I just suggested with no issue. Like the people that live in the domicile with them don't have an issue with you doing these things. But then obviously half the people might or will, okay? So the approach you want to do is sit down and tell them, you know what? I'm planning to do some changes around here. Do you have any suggestions? Because you want to include them. Okay, you don't want them to feel left out or that they're being imposed upon, right? So basically you tell them, you know, I think about this for this room or this. What do you think? Yes, no, you're not sure. And I think it's time to sit down and be diplomatic with everyone, because if this is a good time to do this, they might be on board with you and say, you know what, I feel the same way you do. However, I want this room or this situation to be like this. So I think it's only fair that you have a notebook and you start writing, okay, I like it this way. He or she or whoever likes this way. And then maybe compromise. Hey, well, where can we compromise with this room? Where can we compromise with this aspect of the house or this or that? I'm saying this, you guys, because, again, the cosmos are really intense right now. So even though this is like the perfect time to revamp and make your home better and more comfortable, you can't do it without the consent and the compromise. I hate using that word. But yeah, there may have to be a compromise between you and those around you with this endeavor. Seriously, because of the intensity of the planets again. So yeah, make sure whatever you do is not going to like upset the people that live with you, right? You guys have to be fair to each other. And here's the thing. Some of you may be inherently fair people, but the people you live with may be, they might be very difficult, quote, unfair people. That's a completely different challenge, right? That's a totally different challenge right there. Because if you got someone like that in your home, then that might have been always an issue prior to what I'm bringing up now about this idea, right? So you got your own paradigm that you have to deal with, okay? So, but I'm just speaking of, you know, taking advantage of this time. Yeah, working with those that live with you and seeing what can be done to make everybody happy in the home, right? Because you want to be comfortable, and I'm sure they do too. There, you know, there are some people, this is just how people are, some are different. Some people I notice, they really don't care about comfort in their home. I can't explain this. This is interesting. Like, some people don't, I don't know, I've been in many houses for many different reasons, okay, business, friendship, whatever. Some people, they just don't care. And I don't mean to sound critical. I'm just saying what it is, okay? And no offense, please, but this tends to be men or males, but not always. Not always. It could be women too, but maybe slightly more males might be like this. They may view their apartment or their home or whatever. You know, and again, when you talk about family or married couple, that's a totally different paradigm, because then you got to live with people where everyone has to be on board about something, right? About how you live. But I noticed some men are kind of like, they don't care. It's almost like you walk in their house and it's like, they don't care if you're comfortable or whatever. Okay. I don't want to go into too much detail. Okay. The bathrooms could be bad, the kitchens, the living room even. And, let me just clear a spot for you to sit. Well, you know, so there's that kind of people. They really just don't care about whether they're clean or organized or if their domicile looks aesthetically pleasing in any way. There are some people like that, okay? But I'm not really addressing those people because I can't. I'm only addressing those of you that have an interest in, you know, having comfort and beauty and organization in your home. And hopefully those you live with are on board with you. That's all I could say. So anyway, on to other things. Speaking of, Home, cancer. 4th of July is the birthday, supposedly, of the United States of America when the Constitution was wrote up. And that's a cancer sign, right? America, United States, is a Cancerian sign. This is kind of weird that I'm bringing this up. And speaking of, Washington, D.C. is the capital of this Cancerian country. And what was going on tonight in D.C.? Can anybody tell me? I think you guys know. You know, I think you know what was going on tonight with some crazy stuff with, you know, rioters trying to take down the statue of Andrew Jackson in Lafayette Park, which I guess, I've been to D.C. once and I didn't go everywhere, so I never went to this park, but supposedly it's like really close to the White House. So anyway, in the beginning, seems to me like there was no police response, right? And it looked like it was almost going to go down. But then I guess last minute, 11th hour, the cops came and they weren't able to take the statue down, but they did deface it. And didn't rioters recently deface the Lincoln Memorial and other things in D.C.? I think the monument, the memorial, all, you know, there's a few things, right? So there's this whole thing now about just defacing and or taking down of, you know, symbols of America, the United States. Okay. I have my own take on this. Let me get to the Andrew Jackson situation tonight. Yeah, he was a president. I'd have to say from what little I read about this president, maybe not one of our better ones, okay? Because I think he was related to, and again, it's very difficult to judge players from past history. You have to really, really study them to understand the context of what they were dealing with. But just as a general observation about Jackson is I guess he had something to do with the maybe it was a Trail of Tears. It may have been the Cherokee Indian Trail of Tears situation, displacement of Native Americans. I think there was something to do with him and that. So in all fairness, he's probably not one of our better presidents. And I guess if any president had to be defaced, maybe him. But understand something about what I'm saying here. Okay? This is not about whether we should hate or love Andrew Jackson. I'm kind of leaning on not liking him as much, but that's not the point. What's going on now with the defacement and the taking down of monuments and statues is beyond what we think of someone like Andrew Jackson. Okay? It's beyond it. That the point is that, you know, they're like messing with like many statues of historical characters that, to be honest with you, you couldn't maybe literally say that, oh my God, that's like a bad person or historical figure, because some of these characters I'm hearing, they did bad, but they did good or whatever. It was, you have to look at it from the context of history. So, you know, to just a random, because what's going on with these rioters is they're doing this very randomly. Okay, they're attacking and doing these things to statues that are very random. It isn't even like they're explaining. Well, they might do a little explanation, but not, they don't really understand all the personalities represented in these statues and monuments. They don't have an extensive knowledge of these characters, okay, these historical figures. They don't, for the most part, okay? And this is why it's disturbing, because it's not about whether we should like Andrew Jackson. Again, this is, has to do with how much do you know about these characters and the context and the history and the era that they lived in and whether they did good, bad, this, or what, you know? And so really, in a sense, it might be fair to say that people can say, you know what, if they want to occasionally stand around these, okay, I'm just using Jackson as an example. So if you didn't like the Trail of Tears, if he was supposedly connected to that or whatever, I think it's fair enough to stand in front of that statue and read. Read about the bad things he did, okay, with a bullhorn or whatever. Say, you know what, I'm not for taking this statue down, but I would just want to educate the public about the pros and cons or the good and bad about this president or former president, okay? Here's some of the good things he did, which is like whatever, but then here's the bad things he did, okay? Now, to me, that would be a fair thing for people to do if they feel anything about these quote monuments and statues. You have supposedly free speech. Do we still have it? Okay, so you exercise your free speech by standing in front of the statues and reading things about the pros and cons, the good and bad things they did. I think that's fair. Okay, but to literally just take them down and deface them is BS. That's crap. That's ridiculous. Okay, unfair completely. I want to on that tangent. I want to say that BLM, our lovely George Soros funded BLM, Black Lives Matter. Was it Sean King? Is he one of the spokespeople? He says something about he wants to start to promote the taking down of statues of Jesus Christ. And I'm guessing he means in the churches. Where would they mostly be, right? Because and it, the stipulation is, well, if the Jesus statue or figurine looks Caucasian or Caucasoid, it needs to be taken down. So I guess if it was a black Jesus or whatever, then it should remain a dark-skinned Jesus, whatever. It should remain, okay, whether it be a painting, statue. But if it looks more like your, let's face it, we all know that the painting, and I don't know who did the painting. I need to research this. The very famous image of Jesus Christ, it's in most churches, most Bibles, and it does look like kind of, I guess, a, how can I describe it, right? The famous painting looks almost kind of like Jesus is a white guy who might be a little bit Middle Eastern or Mediterranean. I'm talking the physical appearance, okay? So like a white guy with something like that kind of genetic. Oh, yeah, I'm white, but I'm also a little Middle Eastern, Jewish, Libyan, whatever. What's the other one? Mediterranean, but I would say more Middle Eastern. So that image looks like, yeah, like a white Middle Easternish persona or image. So, but any painting or statue that resembles that, this BLM dude is saying, take it down. So here we go. Okay, you guys, you know, it's one thing, it's bad enough that these historical monuments are being taken down in the public sphere or whatever, right? Most of them are generally outdoor monuments generally, but you go into churches, right? You start taking down Jesus. He looks like a white dude. Take him down. This ain't going to go well if it even gets to that point. Okay. All right. Okay. Regular girl. Yeah. I should put the link in. You know, I'm a very lazy host in the sense that I'm not sitting here pulling a million links back and forth into the, but I'm going to do that now on this one because I think it's important that people see this. I actually put it on my Facebook, but whatever. Okay, this. Yeah, maybe I'll go to my Facebook and pull it from there. Jeez, whatever. It's probably easier. Okay, here we go. This is actually the Washington Times. And you guys, I'm not trying to play favorites at all with any of these news venues. This is just convenience, okay? So let me just post it in here. Okay, here we go. Washington Times article on the BLM, I guess their effort or recommendations, I don't know, suggestions to take down Caucasian statues or whatever, anything of Jesus. Okay, all right. Okay, so I am putting this right now in chat room. So it's there. The lazy host finally talks. No, I mean, I've posted links in chat before. Okay, I mean, I do it occasionally, but not a lot. I mean, some hosts are slamming them in there because I'm really more into talking than I am posting, but I will post. And there you go. It's in there, okay? So to me, let's see them try. Something's telling me this ain't going to be that successful, right? Well, let's see. So anyway, Nick, I've talked a lot. Do you have any comments on anything at all tonight?
Yeah, I don't follow, you know, American politics or politics or political theater at all. But, you know, where money is concerned, I guess, you know, the U.S. dollar is the kind of world reserve currency. So there is, you know, reason to study the background of that and the way that all works.
And well, can I interject something important? You know that in Canada, they're also doing a big shakedown, takedown of all kinds of statues. So this isn't just in the U.S. It's in a lot of countries, actually. So anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it works. See, I mean, there was some article, like we have pretty good police here. We have a very laid-back police force. Yeah, they do draconian things, but it's under orders. Individual police, you know, we have our thugs too, but for the most part, they're decent. And still, there was, you know, a couple of weeks ago, an article saying, oh, Manitoba Premier refuses to defund Winnipeg Police. It's like, you know, I'm just so discouraged by the herd mentality that what happens over there has to happen over here. I mean, it's just everywhere. It's, right. You know, somebody in Timbuktu says we got to do this, and now we all got to do this. It's like, what? But anyway, about Andrew Jackson, you know, I've actually heard one person say what a miserable, horrible person he was. But actually, I think most of these people in high office were kind of like undesirable in one way or another.
Sure. Yeah.
To the average decent person.
Right.
Because there's just nobody decent in those circles anymore. However, Andrew Jackson is apparently the only president that ever, you know, rendered the country debt-free. And that is the first step to people actually, you know, being self-sufficient and a country where everybody is able, not just has an opportunity to, but is actually, you know, no matter what, you're capable of supporting yourself and having a happy, prosperous life. So that's what, you know, America purports to be about.
And right. And that's why I said it's always good to talk about the good and the bad. I'm completely open to all sides of this, right? That's me.
You right.
Know.
So, you know, and I've heard one person in my time say something bad about that guy. Other than, you know, he was a slave owner. But, I mean, they were all slave owners back then. And so, you know, I don't understand this. What is the thing with statues? I mean, it's not, you know, interfering with you, it's just kind of standing.
I know.
What is it about? So it's an agenda. It's part of the agenda of taking away your past and
exactly
rewriting the past.
Right, and it's culturally destabilizing, whether we like the guys or people or whatever or not. Right, because again, there's good and bad to all these people. Play whatever. Okay, so you know, again, yeah, you're absolutely. It's correct. You know, what you're saying is totally correct. It's destabilizing these images. Yeah.
So for basically, you know, between, you know, multiple decades to a couple of centuries, those statues have been just fine. Everybody's living their life and everything's fine with the statues. Now all of a sudden the statues got to go. It's like, you know, this could be a wake-up call for people to realize that, you know, they're not thinking for themselves.
No.
And each and every one of those individuals that is, you know, defacing and destroying these monuments thinks they are thinking for themselves, thinks they are being a rebel and thinking outside the box. And I think it's important, or it's an opportunity for all of us to be able to help them. You know, but at the same time, it's amazing. I've had a few arguments with people on YouTube. One of these so-called killings where all the relatives were crying and sobbing and yet not one tear. I mean, as far as I know, it is impossible to cry without shedding tears. And here are these people, oh, I'm in Samoa, and their eyes are completely dry. And so I put it in the post, you know, just simply look closely. Do you see any tears? And this one person, you know, started telling me how dare I, you know, they're grieving. Each of us grieves in our own way. And we got into a big, long thread and discussion. And several times this gentleman said, he actually ended the thread with one of his comments being, sane people just ignore this and move on. So what he's basically saying is ignorance is sanity. If you're not ignorant, you're insane. You know?
Right. Because it's, yeah, exactly. Be a sheeple and then you'll be more accepted and loved. Whatever. Ugh.
I mean, they're coming right out and saying that. And another guy I suggested – he suggested watching the documentary Earthlings, which is one of the most grotesque, obscene videos you ever. I have to caution anybody, before you watch this, be prepared. I personally am scarred for life watching that.
From Earthlings, this is what, a movie documentary? I've heard of it. What is it?
It is the absolute depths of brutality that people can impart on innocent animals.
Oh, okay. I may have
it seen is extremely disturbing.
Well, you and know so what? Oh, wow. Ooh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So I would always caution people before you watch that. Be that prepared.
That would be like cautioning people before they watch, what was that series? Faces of Death. I didn't get
yes.
into it. That was, yeah, whatever.
Definitely. And so this guy, he says, well, I'm putting you in my ignore drawer. Well, I'll bet your ignore drawer is the biggest drawer, you know, anyone ever had, because you are a pompous, ignorant fool. If you think that everyone is okay, we're all adults and nobody has to be cautioned before they watch this because everyone thinks the same and has emotion, we're all emotional clones. And we don't have to worry about, you know, certain people are more sensitive than others. But I have a very close friend who told me that he watched a different documentary and it almost put him to tears. He couldn't even watch the whole thing of that. Well, I said to him, then don't even touch Earthlings.
Yeah. You know,
some people do need to be cautioned. And it's amazing how you know, the term willful ignorance has just never been more relevant today than today.
You know, this is something I don't like to admit to, but I'm going to do it. Screw it. I don't want to get graphic here, but in my life, I've seen a few extremely violently graphic pictures of people that were being killed. Okay. They were disturbing to me, but sometimes I hate to say this, but some of these SJW freaks, okay, no, the sheeple SJW troublemakers, you know, sometimes I think to myself, wow, I wish they could see that crap that I saw, okay? Because that's a reality that goes on in this world that they just want to, their supporting of bullshit is actually part of the why we even have some of this violence and horrid things go on. But they think that they're virtue signaling. Oh no, I'm right and I care and you should care too. Well, excuse me, you really want to see what's going on in the world? I'm going to throw you some photos and fuck up, excuse me, really, fuck up your night. You won't be able to sleep for nights. Sorry. I don't even like to personally really look at these pictures myself. But if people want to challenge me and say their worldview is like unicorn, what is it, unicorn rainbow land, daisies and flowers, because they support bullshit, okay? They support outright bullshit that they think they're virtue signaling and they're better than the rest of us when they're contributing to the demise of humanity. Well, hey, they deserve to have to see it. If anything, and I don't like to watch shit like Faces of Death or whatever. I'm not into it. But hell, if I thought it was going to make these people really wake up, I'd throw it all at them. Hell, if I was paid, I'd say, you know what? You're coming to my house. I'm going to lock you in my house and you are going to see these pictures and you're going to watch these videos. God, it's cruel. But I'm sorry. I think some people need to be shaken up.
Noreen?
Yeah?
Did you ever watch any of that Faces of Death?
Very little. Okay. Yeah, like I said, yeah.
I watched a few tapes of that back in the day. And what I found was the guy that presented it with a lot of dignity. I mean, he...
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
I would watch, sometimes I would watch these fail videos, and sometimes you'd get into these dash cam videos of mishaps. And for me, it wasn't about, you know, enjoying watching car crashes and that.
Okay, right.
But it was, but what it does is it teaches you what can happen. And
sure.
Learning what can happen can help you, you know, defend against it.
Right.
And that's what I found about this Faces of Death is he talked about how, you know, unfortunate it was and talked about how this could have been prevented. and, you know, give some empathy towards the victims in the videos. So it actually, Faces of Death really wasn't as horrible and graphic as some of these other videos.
Sure.
Maybe the one you mentioned where people were being brutally killed.
Yeah. You know, I understand. Even to talk about it right now is disturbing, really. But I think what happens to a lot of us is when we know these truths and we know that the world is really screwed up because people are just following BS and they don't realize that they're contributing to the problem. Unfortunately, sadly, those people probably need to see the outcomes of what can happen to people. See, because I don't want to go too much into it, but, you know, like I was reading and I posted on my Facebook and Mark Eddy put a thumbs up. Shout out to him. You know, what's his name? Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the guy that survived some of the horrors of the gulags in Russia. And he described people the way they died. It was horrible. Okay. The Bolsheviks tortured people to death. Like they put them in barrels with nails in them. So they push and roll down the hills. You're being like spiked by nails. I mean, just unbelievable shit. Okay. And I'm thinking to myself, well, these stupid, really? BLM supporters and people, you know, whatever, chaos supporters, okay? They got to see the outcomes of their, quote, life philosophies. It's not virtue signaling. It's death signaling. Because what they're doing is they're saying, oh, we're so virtuous and we love so much that, yeah, well, if you get murdered this way, oh, well, because we don't think you can and neither will we. Well, guess what? You'll be the first. Because Alexander Solzhenitsyn and all these people say, they say the first people to get victimized are these, quote, SJW types, okay? Stalin, I think what he did was he had these nut jobs, you know, they were all for this bizarre crap that was horrible crap going on. And so then when he wanted to rid of them, they were some of the first people he rid of. Like, I think he put them on boats. Like, these people don't even think like they're going to be murdered. They think, oh, we're for Stalin, and we're for the this and this and this and that. And, you know, then he sticks them on boats, and he sinks the boats. So then the people are thinking, well, what's happening? I thought that I was a loved person by Stalin. Well, no, you're not. He's murdering you right now. So this is my whole point. The sooner people get woke, not that term, sorry, excuse me. The sooner they get aware of how these types of philosophies, they seem pretty shiny and nice on the outside, but they lead to danger for humanity. That they got to see it. This is what's horrible. Oh, I don't want to talk about this anymore. It's giving me a headache. But anyway. So anyway, you know, let's see if BLM could get into churches and start taking down Jesus, right? I don't know. I'd be surprised. It would be nuts. But anyway, I'm going to switch gears to something more pleasant, if there is such a thing. I just can't, because now I got on this negative roll, and I'm going to get out of it. I just want to mentally just remove myself from it.
Well, one thing that would get us out of the negativity is Remedy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reason people can be convinced to do these idiotic things is because of desperation.
Right.
Most people are so desperate. And if you're not desperate, you're in dread of becoming desperate, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's really a simple equation that we get rid of poverty, we get rid of all of this. All of this goes away. And look at all the advances in technology we have, not even the ones they're hiding, just the ones we're using today. And yet we're still hardly any better off. Like, why doesn't anybody see how they use technology to increase production, food production, building materials, clothing, everything can be so overproduced. We can produce 10 of everything, 10 times too much of everything for everybody. And yet we're still in this age-old dark age mindset of lack, of scarcity. You know, that's what we have to get over. We have to get out of this dark age with our minds.
Yeah.
And entice ourselves somehow to pull our minds out of this and modernize. And so that's...
For, I think there are some of that going on right now. There is a movement. I'm noticing people are starting to wake up to this a little bit, what you're talking about.
I guess maybe that's why they're trying to get people to just burn stuff and break things, because, yeah, maybe you're right. It's happening, and so they're countering with this nonsense. I mean, this chaos.
But there's not an excuse for the kind of nonsense that, you know, we're witnessing. What I'm saying is, if you're talking about real anarchy, it's not done like this. This is just chaos. You see my point? It's not...
Well, a lot of people think anarchy is chaos.
No, it's quite the opposite. Well, these terms have become really weird these days. But But a lot of what's going on with people rioting and destroying businesses, right? I mean, that's not helping because you're destroying someone else's stuff. It's not, you know, and you're also injuring innocent people, the whole thing, or even killing them. So this is not anything to do with a good cause. It has more to do with chaos.
Let me read just the first sentence in the Wikipedia article for anarchy, okay? Mm-hmm. And basically, it's a real simple, quick sentence, and it ends, like, this first paragraph is just this one sentence. So basically, anarchy, according to Wikipedia, can be summed up in just this one sentence. Is the state of a society being freely constituted without authorities or a governing body. It may also refer to a society or group of people that totally rejects a set hierarchy. That's all. It has nothing to do with spray painting garage doors or busting up windows or anything like that. All it means is no rulers. That's all. That's all. Nothing else to anarchy.
I'm not really for or against what this thing is. It's just more, I mean, what you just said, because we're getting into human complexity now of centuries. You know, I don't want to go there because every country, every continent has had centuries of this conflict. So I don't want to go there. But I know what you're talking about. But anyway, getting back on a more positive note, I think that, you know, the one good thing I'm seeing out of this is people becoming more self-sustaining, having more interest in growing food and making their own things. Yeah, there are some good things about this, but, you know, people have to be very strong. They have to tell the government, you cannot tell me I cannot grow a garden. You cannot tell me, you know, that you cannot come on my property and seize my garden. You cannot tell me I cannot make my own tools in my garage. See, and this is where it kind of, anyway, I don't want to go there. It's too much right now.
Absolutely. What we can do is generalize and just say to the government, you can't tell me a thing. There's nothing you can tell me. You're supposed to be regulating corporations. I am not a corporation. And that's exactly what they've done.
They've made citizens, you know, into corporations.
Yes, they pretend we're corporations, and that's how they fool us into. When you go to court, they say, are you this name? Oh, you've just said you're this corporation, so now we can rule over you. So you got to, you know, tell the government before they come to you. I mean, before you get a summons or anything. Tell the government ahead of time, look, we're done being ruled over by you, okay? And we're going to rule ourselves now. And as such, we can have peace because, tell you what, the government is not interested in peace. They want conflict.
You know, the problem, too, now is because everything's so global with the technology. This is the real crux of the problem, okay? I mean, really, you know, because they can't leave places alone. You have, you know, whatever you want to call them, I guess democracies or whatever, and they don't want to leave them. They just want to leave them be. So they want the democracy to go down the low level of tyranny and poverty. Understand that this is not about saying that one region of the world is better than the other. This is just a reality of what the government and the New World Order is trying to make everywhere impoverished, dependent, contact traced, everything. Okay, I don't care what country you're in. You could be in France, Costa Rica, Japan, Canada, Mexico, Italy. It doesn't matter. The New World Order, they want to go where you are. It doesn't matter. So this whole thing is just so, you know, freaky. It's really freaky. It's like it is a clown world. You know,
that's why I'm so glad.
What?
That's why I'm so glad. I've settled my affairs long, long time ago. I don't have to worry about myself. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm able to give my energy to the world, to at least the part of the world I inhabit.
right,
to help people to free their minds as well. Mm-hmm. And in so doing, I find service to myself as well as others. I found a way where we can live together and we can help each other without sacrificing anything. I mean, you know, it's kind of like trust and respect. You can give everyone a default level of trust and respect, a level that will not harm you if that trust is betrayed. Okay. Mm-hmm. So give everyone that level of trust. That helps you learn how to trust, and it helps others be more trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
And we can spread, you know, a very happy existence that way.
Oh, I can ask Vegas Power the question. I can answer her question about you, Nick. Nick is an Aries. He's an April Aries, and I think his rising sign was Capricorn. So there you go. I just revealed your astro sign, but anyways. Okay, there's the answer. Well, solar eclipse in Cancer, yeah, anybody with cardinal signs is going to be affected, which is many people have cardinal signs in their chart. Because don't forget, when you got an eclipse, of course, the degree of the Cancer, you know, the sign and the eclipse and the orbs, they move degree by degree. So you're going to get hit, whatever. Okay, everybody, many people. It's very rare for a person to not have one cardinal planet in their chart. So if you have even one, you know, yeah, the eclipse will hit it. It's just the way it is. Whatever. Anyway, what was I going to say? Something kind of interesting and bad. I was watching Jeff C. I love Jeff Sensor. He's awesome. His video. And he was saying that, you know, people are being, like, fired because they're doing things like saying things against BLM or the COVID even, or whatever, you know, pro or anti or whatever, Biden, Trump, this and that. And they're losing their jobs. So this is complete tyranny. Yeah. Hey. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's like people need to start suing. If you lose your job because of this BS, you got to sue if you can. If you can afford a lawyer, if you can do it, right? I mean, all these people getting, like, they're getting their asses kicked sometimes at Walmart. They should be having a class action lawsuit. Seriously.
Yeah, the best way.
I'm wearing a mask. I wear no mask, and I try to get in Walmart, and I got. I'm not kidding. I've seen these three videos of people, okay, being either hit, stopped, whatever, followed around in Walmart, unfairly harassed by employees because they're not wearing masks. So they need to do a class action lawsuit, seriously.
Yeah, there's class action, but if you want to do an individual lawsuit, best way to do that is not get a lawyer at all. Mm-hmm. Learn how to file a claim. Once you put a claim in at a court, that usurps all other processes. A claim is the ultimate reason a court even exists. So,
well, then, what you're saying is they should be doing claims. Okay, whatever, they need to do something.
Yeah. Yeah, when you, especially if you're an employee and you like your job and you get fired because you spoke your mind and you got fired for your thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah, learn how to file a claim against that company. And believe me, the first time they see a paperwork from a claim, they're going to get on their knees and beg you forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Because that kind of thing can really strike down a corporation, especially when you, because if you file a claim, you're saying you're not a corporation, you're a man. And you are second only to God in this system when you make yourself to be a man or a woman,
mm-hmm.
obviously.
Yeah.
So that's important. Another way that we can take back our futures, our destinies, is to learn how to, you know, properly use the system. And when you file a claim, the shorter the better. Like most claims should only be three sentences max.
Mm-hmm.
So once you learn how to properly configure those sentences, and I think we're born with this knowledge and it's trained out of us. So we got to relearn all this stuff. And it's far more simple. I mean, you know, they make it complicated because their system is complicated. And that's why we can rejoice because, you know, our system is very simple. And so once we unlearn all their garbage and get back into natural laws and, you know, understand our true place in this universe. You know, it's very, very simple, much simpler than we think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, this is, you know, this has to end because it's not, if it doesn't end, it'll just keep going. You know, it's all connected to control. So, yeah, so I just heard today, Governor Newsom of California, he just reinstated the wearing of masks, mandatory masks out in public, but give me a break. I'm not seeing any increase in masks again, thank God. Okay, here where I live. If anything, our restaurants now, many restaurants, oh, I want to say that. I've already been to two restaurants, okay, already since the last few weeks. And fully operating, you don't have to wear a mask, but the wait staff wears masks. But you, the patron, the person eating there, we don't have to wear them. So this is a good thing that's happening finally, right? But then Newsom, of course, he can't handle it, so he has to throw this out at people again, whatever. However, I had the misfortune of picking up some food for a family member. Yeah, I'm just going to say the company, Panda Express. It's a chain. I'm sure most of you are familiar. Many, many people listening now are familiar with Panda Express. Okay, so bad, bad, bad on them because most eateries now, like I said, generally are pretty much open. You can go in and order without a mask. Get seated and eat without a mask. A lot, I would say maybe 80% of eateries now, if they're still open, if they were able to survive the lockdown, are kind of at that level, more or less, okay? Maybe some are still, you know, operating at a lockdown mode. Okay, so one of them is Panda Express because I was in there and I walk in and right away the guy goes, oh, you have to wear a mask. And I'm like, okay, I'm here to pick up for someone else, so I guess I have to. So, you know, and then I looked around and you can't eat in there, which is weird because at Carl, which I don't really eat at Carl's Jr., but at Carl's Jr., you could go in and sit. I noticed that when I went in there to get iced tea, you could go in and sit. No, you know, no problem. But no, Panda Express, these are all kind of fast food type joints, which I don't frequent too often except for once in a while. But yeah, Panda Express is not bad actually, but I went to get it for, you know, a family member, and I just was like, okay, wear a mask, whatever, order the food. Then there was nowhere to sit. I mean, in terms of, like, you can't sit inside. So he goes, yeah, just wait outside, and we'll call you. Okay. So I waited, and then I got my food, and I left. But I'm thinking, what the hell's wrong with them? They're, like, the only, not, I wouldn't say the only, but one of the few takeout places where they're not allowing people to be seated. You still have to wear a mask. I'm thinking to myself, what they're doing is they're just keeping on the same, habits or system, because they figure there's going to be another lockdown in the winter by the second wave of COVID. So we're not changing nothing. We're just going to keep on course the whole summer and into the winter since we don't have to change anything. That's what I think they're up to. This is why they're not, maybe I'm wrong, okay, but maybe that's why they're doing this. Because they're figuring, they know there's going to be another effort to clamp down, okay? Because there's so many eateries now that are pretty much open and free to sit and eat, no masks, and except for the wait staff. So yeah, congratulations on them. But yeah, this is what's kind of happening with some stores. You know, it's kind of hit and miss, but it's more open now than it was before. You know. Now the other day I was in Target. Okay, whatever. And most of the time, 90% of the time, 95% of the time, I don't have issue in Target. But remember that one time I said that the security guard at one of them a couple of months ago, he's real cool. He just nicely said, you know, I know it sucks, but could you please wear a mask? Okay, he was cool. But then the other day I was in there and I'm thinking, next time I run into this kind of person, I'm just not going to wear the mask, okay? Because in Target, I don't wear a mask usually. I take mine off as soon as I get in, right? Sometimes I just go in without one. And I was roaming around the whole store without my mask at Target. And the one girl that I asked for help, she goes, can you please put on your mask? I'm like, what? So I just stuck it on really quick and took it off and walked away when I got my answer from her. But, you know, next time I'm not. I'm just going to say, no, I'm not going to put on a mask. What are you going to do about it? And I'm just going to walk away. You know, I was polite this time, kind of, a little bit. But I'm not going to be this time. She could stick it. She's the only person hung up on the friggin' mask. Everybody else in the store was maskless. They didn't care. They didn't, you know, there's a few people like myself, you know, they didn't care. There was an employees that would look at me. They didn't care. They could care less. But this one chick had a big hang-up, so screw her. You know? So, yeah, you're going to run in occasionally into these people once in a while. You know, they're just real anal and into the mask, whatever, it's BS, you know?
Yeah, there's a disproportionate number of people out there. And they're starting to really look silly. At first, I didn't really think about it because it was kind of a fresh thing. But now, this many months on, people still walking around with masks. Yeah, they just look so silly.
Don't they? Especially when they're outside. Ugh.
Yeah, and in their cars, driving around wearing a mask. Probably getting faint from breathing all that carbon dioxide. Talk about an increasing day. But, when you go into stores, there's these stupid arrows where you're supposed to walk this way down the aisles. No one has ever bothered me because I'll follow the arrows if I'm going that way. But if I'm not going that way, I'm going against the arrows. Sorry. And no one has ever said anything to me so far.
Yeah.
So it's pretty weird how so many people are complying with this. And yet most of the employees and people who are being asked to enforce this, being trained to get drunk on the power of directing and talking down to people, they're not really buying in. And so it's kind of it's otherworldly out there, I'll tell you right now.
It is.
Very hard to really get a feel of what, you know, what this world is like. Because, I mean, this is so surreal.
It's surreal because it's a black mass ritual. Like I said before, it is literally a ritual. It's a spell.
But so very few people are really buying in, but at the same time, you know, the ones who are only kind of, you know, passively, the ones who wear the mask but don't really bother you otherwise,
right?
Mm-hmm. Don't realize that they're being lied to and being they don't realize they're not thinking for themselves. And I guess it's kind of a measure of, you know, the kind of mindset out there that enabled this world.
Exactly.
Where how many people are being led around by the nose hairs and don't realize it, think they're thinking for themselves, and I don't know, am I thinking for myself? You know, it's confusing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's all part of the discombobulation that they're trying to do to people, you know?
Yeah, we depend
on the new normal.
Yeah, we depend on the world being a stable place, and that's where, you know, we get up, we brush our teeth, we assume everything is going to be there the way it was. And yet, you know, we're kind of learning, even we who kind of recognize that we've been lied to all along, are kind of recognizing that even the things that we thought were real certainly weren't. And, you know, when it comes down to whether or not this is all a projection, you know, do we really have stable ground to stand on? I mean, what if that disappears? Where are we going to fall, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just how much of a projection is it? How much of a projection are we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and I think that, but this is why, you know, keeping firmly rooted in reality, like we're trying to do, is so important because, you know, some people are, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're into the chaos destabilization agenda. They got sucked into it. You know, like I told you about these people that are into these causes and bullshit. It's like they've been sucked by a vacuum because, you know, and you know, I've been watching a videos by James True, and he's always talking about apertures. So he's saying, you know, if you're the kind of person being sucked into these agendas, you watch out for your apertures. Apertures meaning you got a hole in yourself. Yeah. Because it was weird when I started thinking about people that fall into these agendas, I thought I matched what he said about the holes. I thought, yeah, these people actually have holes in their brains. In their spirit, in their brain, there is a gap or a hole. So this is why something like these weird agendas can fit, right? Because what is nature abhor? A vacuum, correct? So then you have an aperture that's like a vacuum. So then it gets sucked in with the agenda or by an agenda, correct? You see, so this is kind of how the psychology of this works. So a lot of this is psychological, you know, programming Definitely. And if people, yeah, that's what this is. So, you know, I don't know. I guess it's like you, when you get, you know, you have your immunity to not being sucked into a vacuum, right? Then that's where your strength is. But they want, the elites, they want us to be sucked in. Because they got their elite new world order, the vacuum. I'm looking at this vacuum. It says NWO vacuum, right? So then you get your unsuspecting people that got holes. And then the vacuum comes in and goes, ooh, there's a person with a hole. Suck.
You know what that vacuum is? That vacuum is described in quantum physics. Mm-hmm. Where if you are facing away from a wall, then behind you where you're not looking is infinite possibilities. There may not be a wall there at all.
Yeah.
There could be anything behind you until you swing your gaze around. Mm-hmm. And this is described mathematically. I mean, we can't perceive things even at a microscopic level, even at a scanning tunneling microscope, cannot perceive the quantum level, the Planck scale.
Sure.
And that is where our creative potential rests right now. And that's where it's confined because we're so misled, because we're so brought into the macro world and made to believe, you know, essentially Plato described it in Allegory of the Cave where, you know, they make these shadow puppets on the wall and we're made to believe that is the world. And those shadow puppets is the world we see with our physical eyes. So we ignore 99% of all of existence. We're just not capable of perceiving that. And so, you know, once we understand that, we reacquire that knowledge of how we have the fundamental capability of creating reality just with our perspective, especially our emotions apparently have the greatest influence on how we collapse those infinite possibilities into the reality we perceive. Once we reacquire that and relearn how to manipulate that, how to, have control over that, there's nothing they can do to us. All of that nonsense, all those lies just evaporate.
We have the fundamental ability of creating reality.
Off the radio.
Especially our emotions, apparently, have the greatest influence.
The radio on, Bill.
We collapse those.
Yeah, I already shut it off.
Into the
I just shut it off.
What's going on here? It's not me.
Wait a minute.
Okay, it's off. It's off now.
Oh, okay, I hit play instead of hit stop. Oh,
that's okay. That's all right.
Who likes the sound of their own voice? Very few people.
Okay, yeah, it's funny. That's kind of funny. I was listening to Nick in the background going, I just heard what he said. But anyway, hey, Bill, what's new?
Man, a lot of things, but I won't go into that. There's a lot of things. I took notes while I've been trying to do laundry and a whole bunch of stuff while you guys were talking. And again, this time I have to agree with most of what Nick said tonight, except for one thing. If you get rid of the poor, you will solve crime. That is not true. However, it goes a long way to help prevent and reduce it, but it will never get rid of it. It'll actually cause a super criminal class, actually, in the long run. But that's the long run. What I believe in is I do believe in everybody tithing towards other people and or civilization, just not, again, not forced by the government, which really was kind of created by the priest class and the churches and so on, which is one of the reasons they came up with tithing. They got everybody to willingly give to them. They were just thieves, you know. They just wanted a free life, you know. Goes back, right. You know, people forget about, one thing certain people remember is, what do you call it with the Baal and the dragon? Is it just that simple, Baal and the dragon? The cave?
Dragon Ball?
Yeah, kind of. Well, you know, part of what was left out of the Bible in the Apocryphals was one of the original stories about the reality of Baal and the so-called devil and so on. And basically, they were a cult. Any proof of who they really were and what they always did to people, how to find ways to get people to, you know, freely give up their stuff, their money, their food, their time, their labor, you know, Oh, hand the money in the basket. Yep. It'll go to the poor. Trust us. Trust me. We're the good guys. So, you know, God will make sure it gets there, you know, unharmed. All your hard-earned cash. So the poorest of the most, you know, the poorest of the poor will give the most per amount of what they make. And it will be real, like, you know. So basically, Baal and the Dragon had to do with what was discovered, that one of the main Baal cults, you know, was a dragon snake cult. And they would always invent a god and tell everyone to go in the cave and leave your baskets of food for God. And it will magically be gone in the morning. Somehow, I'm like, God got it. You know, now your crops are going to grow. Yep, you're all going to be prosperous now, and your crops are going to grow this year, and the sun will come up tomorrow, and well, maybe the next few days after the flood. So, you know, everybody, I'm not sure if they were forced. I think they were forced, at least certain areas they were. And, you know, basically, you know, they'd go get a bounty of food, plentiful, and they'd go bring baskets full of food, you know, the best of the best. And, of course, they'd leave it on the altar in the cave and walk away. And by God, it's gone by God every day. And it was proven it, they were caught in the act, that they found the secret hidden passageways in the back. And this is what eventually created the Catholic Church. Okay, this is the history of the Catholic Church, at least their pagan connections. Okay, so you know, basically they came up with the bread basket and all kinds of, you know, confess your sins. It's a spy box, as I call it, right? So they were always infiltrating, always listening and watching and spying and finding neat ways to give you, for you to give your labor, your food, your money, and your secrets so they could bribe you, right? Then, of course, they always had the oldest profession, and that was the you know, brothels and the honeypots stemmed out of that. That's from the beginning, the very beginning of history. That has never left. None of those tricks ever went away. They've been embedded deeply into our society. So they just grew into massive science. Now they're like massively, you know, trillionaires with the most powerful science and psychology Nazis would shy off about. I mean, you know, depending on your belief in Nazis. That's not really all I wanted to talk about, but you know, get the Luciferian marches yesterday. All right, now technically the day before, on the Ring of Fire, actually calling for the one world government and the bringing back of Lucifer. I wanted to bring up the Lorien show tonight, and I love Lorien. Me and you both know her personally, and
right,
you know, many times, you know, friends with her, talking, you know, face to face, you know, constantly.
Sure. So, right.
So she's not just a friend from the station here.
Right.
She does great shows. I like her guests, but a lot of times she has on people. I think Dick is Tron. I'm not sure. Is Dick Tron? Do you know?
I don't know, because I haven't listened lately, but
well, actually, before I get into that, let me look at my other list. Oh, you were talking about a hole in the aura. You know, friends of mine, of course, would say that's a chink in your armor. Plus, look, plus, you know, from a healer's and aura vision point of view, when people are sick and you have someone who can see your auras and they can see where you're sick, what organs are bad or going or failing, or if you have cancer in certain areas, they see that as dark or brown or reddish brown, orangey, murky spots. Okay. That's a hole in your armor. That's a hole in your aura, okay? It's a low energy. That's why they say low frequency. It's low energy. It's low light. It's less light. So the Illuminati is all about seeing the aura. It's all about the aura, light. And that's part of it. That's the good side of them, right? So that has become recent. There's been modern Illuminati branches off of the Illuminati, shown in Family Happy Times. And, and Rodrigo Soto showed me one of the pages and asked me what I thought about it. And I never even clicked on it, other than just the homepage. they wanted people to sign up, and this is what it's about, the future and a new age of wonderful and happiness. That's what we're really all about. No, it's not what they're really all about. It's ultimately, there's just a few basic universal governing, world governing religions that created that. It's a branch off. It's a way to make themselves look good. It's a way to buffer. You know, it's like a maze to get to who really runs everything, right? And basically, that has to do with the marches. They were scooping in a lot of not so bad people, trying to convince them into a world government based on science and reason and love and happiness. That's not what it's about at all. And as far as statues go, one of the main statues they're starting to put up or about to, I can tell you right now, is first of all, you know, Beelzebub and Baphomet. They call it Baphomet. It's Baphomet. Everybody keeps saying Baphomet, Baphomet. It's Baphomet. It's more
which would be more like the French pronunciation with a silent T, yeah. Right? Baphomet. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of Luciferians and some I know devil worshippers are from those French lines in particular.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, specifically. Partly why I know some things about France. It may actually be the key center of actually may even run the Vatican itself. And in other words, that's also where, you know, the Louge is and the pyramid thing and what that movie with Tom Hanks was centered around. And that has there's a lot of bad stuff goes on in Paris, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of masters come out of there, and the art center, which the Illuminati focuses on, trying to say the world, the perfect world in the future, is all going to be about art and science and wisdom. And I always used to agree with all that. I loved all that. I wanted to end all dogmatic religions.
Mm-hmm.
But they want a single ruler, and they're really brutal. They're very evil. They're very bad. They're completely counter to everything they claim. So this Luciferian march yesterday-ish is really a cover. They used a lot of suckers that believe in a lot of good things. So I want people to know a lot of those people.
Hello? Bill, you were talking and maybe something happened. He dropped off. I don't know. Let me see what happened here. Oh, looks like maybe he dropped off. I don't know.
Okay,
Dan. Okay, you're back. Okay, go ahead.
Skype signed me out. I'm trying to get to a bunch of other key words I had real fast. I didn't mean to go off on either direction much. But, you know, I just want those Luciferians that are actually good and believe some of the most recent pages where you can sign up and be a member to the Illuminati. Those are the nicety. Those are the soft velvet, lovey, touchy ones. That's not the real Illuminati. The real Illuminati will cut you up with chainsaws in a hot second, and they do that for lunch, all right?
Sure.
And for breakfast, they just use a scalpel, all right? Okay, so that's how they run. Mm-hmm. That's the real Illuminati. In the ancient past, we had a massive control over the earth, but you could say they were good dictators. They should not have been dictators. But they were the best dictator, for the most part, we could have probably had at those times. What happened was a massive rebellion, a massive evil rebellion, massive war, massive destruction. And ever since, the modern secret Illuminati took over, which is really, really bad. It's like a caveman, an evil caveman, a killer man-eater caveman walked into a time machine UFO and took it over. That's as bad as what we've got. That's about as bad as it is, just about literally. It's like these people are troglodytes with advanced alien technology and secrets on how to ride the spiritual waves and energy and take your energy and literally drink blood and literally cut babies up. And that's what we have.
Bill, honestly, we can tune into your show and listen to how bad it is.
All right, but I was just finishing up on that, and I just wanted to explain a lot of we have to bring up that march. They were calling for the one world government yesterday and doing rituals.
I heard something about this. Where was this at?
It was all over the world.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, everywhere, every country, you know, that they're allowed. But let me skip. Wait, where's my? Wait a second. I got my thing here. Let me see. You have. Well, to end the gore thing, you know, I used to watch the gore horror movies, but the gore flicks too, and they were way worse. Movies were just way worse than Faces of Death, even though that was pretty bad. But I'm talking gore movies in particular, you know. Me and a friend, mostly my friend, was going to make those kind of movies more than anything else. And then never really did much with that. But statues. Now, one thing I keep forgetting to bring up on my show and anytime, I keep forgetting over and over is, you know, this is a Marxist plan. It's a Phoenix plan as well. Yeah. The Phoenician destroy and rebuild, the Phoenix fire plan. And so they destroy the old and rebuild the new and the best with fire. But it's not just that. They want to replace the statues eventually. So the primary one they've already begun with, and that was a clue ahead of time, and that's the Baphomet statue, right? But they're going to put Marxists up. They're going to put Lenin and all kinds of stuff up. That's what they really want to do. And this is designed to create a clash either way. And tonight on Lorians, we had that guy talking about the Maitreya. Now, I was part of the Maitreya group.
Oh, Maitreya. That is the – can I say something? Oh, my God. I forgot all about that thing. But I'll tell you, when I first saw that like a decade ago, and I saw photographs of this really weird-looking guy that they call Maitreya, but maybe it's not related to what you're saying, but that whole thing was so strange. But go ahead. Very weird.
Yeah, it was about – I don't know how long ago it was. It really – was much more known by about 10 years ago, but I knew about it at least 20 and probably about 20. I'm not sure anymore, but so I was part of that group a little bit. I kept up. I had the letters. I, you know, talked with them a little bit, and I met one of the, I can't remember if I met, what's his name? Creme Le Cramer.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, and you know what? He was a guest once on, I think it was Coast to Coast with Jordan Norrie, right? He had that guy. I know who you're talking about. Benjamin Cream or whatever. Yeah, that's it. And that's the Maitreya guy. And George Norrie said that was one of the worst interviews he ever did. He just couldn't handle that guy. Something was weird.
Well, I know the whole... I knew the buildup to the entire philosophy years ago, and of course I had trained myself to try to come up with fake religions year by the time I was a teenager. I literally invented religion after religion, scenario after scenario on how to make a unified one world religion, and to whether it be to trick people for their good or to not trick them at all, but try to unify them in any way possible, either way for the good. But ultimately, for the possibility of extermination, depending on the masses, depending on how it went. But it's just, it was a way to train myself just so I could see into the eyes of the enemy more than anything. So I couldn't be blindsided by anything, and it helped. So now I could see all these story makers come out of nowhere. Plus, I know the people who make them up sometimes. So these are all made up. The Urantia, the Maitreya thing, that's the New World Order agenda. That's all designed to unify the world under this grand, all-arching, all-encompassing, appease every religion on earth, every tribe, every race. See, they're creating chaos now, and that's eventually they want to come in with a massive one world solution at some point. And
can I ask you a question? This is just really relevant to what you're saying. Earlier, I was talking about Black Lives Matter's goal to now destroy statues or images of Jesus that look Caucasian. This is part of what you're talking about, too. This is really, I was like, wow, that's nuts, you know?
Yeah, well, you, some, one of you, you and Nick mentioned, you don't know if they're going to be able to get in the church to try to take down Jesus statues. They're going to burn the church down. They don't, they're not going
there
to try
you
to.
Go. I think yeah. you're right. I see what you're talking about. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Right. There's going to be so many churches are going to be burned. And then after they, after everyone's pretty used to them being burned and more resistant, they're just going to blow them up. They're literally going to blow them up. And, there's going to be more and more of that, more and more and more and more of that. So they want the one world religion. They want a power vacuum.
You did hear, too, that they're trying to, what is it now? Because of the situation in Atlanta with that guy that was shot. Now the police in Atlanta have gone on strike. And this is kind of like a movement across the country now where police are now going on strike because of all these like anti-police, you know, type of incidents.
Yeah. Right. And I'm actually more for that than against, but not a 100% across the board, you know, situation. But on the other hand, it's designed, their plans is to replace that with federal and then UN control and robots like people already talk about here on the station. But I've been telling everyone from the beginning. So, you know, basically, you know, it'll be from Roman rule.
It'll be RoboCop taking over. Yeah, exactly.
Yep, it'll be robot rule. And, you know, believe me, they're making them every second that goes by. They've got the secret bases, secret manufacturing, not just what you see. And people keep assuming, well, you know, they're pretty advanced, but they have their limits and they need fuel or energy and lithium batteries or whatever. No, that's not true. The real robots they have waiting for the end is like they're impervious, can't be stopped, can't be shot, can't be melted.
And they're murderous, just like in Black Mirror. You had that drone that was like that dog drone that was going around murdering people. I'm serious. This is what I see. Yep.
One thing, Noreen, you might remember. You were at another event I was at. It was Lorian's event. They had that guy from Rhode Island I knew. I lost touch with him. I was avoiding staying in touch for both of our sake, actually. But the guy was talking about what I say, basically what I said for years. One of my plans to take over the world was to use even pet robots. So you infiltrate by taking people's pets. And if you want to spy on them, if they're important enough, you replace their eye or you put something in their stomach, a listening device or a monitoring device. Eventually in the future, just replace it with a robot altogether. But it's a way to sneak up on people. It's like, oh, look, the cute little doggy or rabbit's getting close to us. And then it lasers you with its eyes or shoots you out of it.
Oh my God.
You know, so anything you can think of, they've already thought of and more. And period, end of story. If you can think of it, period, they've already thought of it. It's on file. It's on the list, all right? And it has a designation. It will be used for someone somewhere at some time. Doesn't mean everybody. It doesn't mean even in general. But they have a purpose for every idea at certain places and certain times. They're going to use every idea, no matter what it is. So the robot revolution is coming, and Terminator was about that. It wasn't saying this could happen in the future. They're saying we went to the future, we saw it happen, it's what we want happens anyway, and is going to happen. So, but it's not just that. Everything's multi-purpose. And that was just about the time they started releasing the Terminator seeds, GMO, to the world as well, kind of just around that time. So, you know, it was putting that concept in your head, you know, and, but I'll shut up and then I'll talk more later.
No, that's interesting what you're talking about, because it's almost like this police thing segues right into robotic police. I mean, that's actually true. You know, people might think that's incredulous, but it's not, really is not. I mean, it really, it's actually very real, you know, so it's kind of,
RoboCop, the movie, was meant to be absolutely taken seriously. It's not science fiction. And there'll be cyborgs and there'll be pure robots. There'll be a mix. But, you know, in the movie RoboCop, the cop technically died. He wasn't really dead. He was kept alive. And his contract was, if you die, we do experiments on you. We can turn you into a robot and own you because we're the corporation and we can own you. Well, you're dead. You're just dead. No, if you saved somebody from dying, then they never were dead and they're still alive. And no, you don't have the right to ruin their life or control every thought or every motion in their body. So they really do want that actual control. Okay. And I would say, don't give up blood anymore. Don't give blood, you know, to the blood banks, and do not sign your organs away. They really mean to take them. And, they really want you to sign your body away for science. And that's what I'm trying to remember to tell people. Don't do it. They really will keep your body and they will do like all kinds of robotic experiments, freeze experiments for hibernation and bringing back people to life and computer experiments, you name it. So I'm trying to stop that. But to go back to the statues, see, I even did it tonight. I keep forgetting. The purpose of taking down statues, what they plan, I've been forgetting to say this every week for years. Maybe not every week, but years. They want to replace statues with holograms and robots. They want robotic statues that some of them only occasionally move. And some can actually, you generally sit there until a designated time where they can get up and walk around and maybe rotate their head at you to scare you. But they'll all have cameras in their eyes. But other ones, they want to have hologram stations. They want to have projections. Okay. And it'll be a projection of a statue. They can change it anytime. They can change it from one statue to another and then a next. And that's the plan for the future. That's what I keep forgetting to say. But the real statues will be robots. But I was saying, remember, we can replace any statue they take down. We can just 3D print it up, make it out of resin, make it out of plastic, make it out of steel. We can just 3D print them up. And we don't want them to tear down our culture and our memory and our identity. But at the same time, you have to wonder where the line should be in some areas, whether it's worth a fight. In some areas, I say shoot to kill. Other areas, I say we can work with these people, let them tear it down.
I want to ask you, Bill, what do you project? Because right now it's the summertime and, you know, the COVID thing is, I mean, it's here, but it's not, and it is, and it's kind of whatever. And then, you know, we got the rioting and the taking on the statues. And then that Chaz City, I hear, is being slowly kind of dismantled because I guess somebody was killed there. So anyway, the thing is, what do you foresee in the upcoming months? Because on one hand, as I said earlier in the show, people are starting to wake up and getting very fed up with all these agendas and all these restrictions, okay, whether it be COVID or police issues or whatever, okay? What do you foresee? Do you think that the public being more awakened is going to have more, we're going to have more say in our lives and be able to fight this New World Order, Illuminati agenda? Or do you think that it doesn't matter? Really actually stupid and they can't really fight those of us that are awake, or are they beyond that and they're going to pull things in front of us and still control us and all these, you know, ways that we've described on the station many times? So what do you see in the upcoming months of 2020?
That's a little hard for me to say because I don't know if what I'm seeing is for next year or if it's this year. Mm-hmm. Or
let me say, you could say if it's 2020 or 2021 or 22, it doesn't I'm not looking at the year in specifics. It's just more like a time frame to work with. So what do you see, generally?
I see people waited too late. People accepted the lockdown too long. So they're going to have to pay for that with massive loss and death in some cases. It can't be stopped. Now, beyond that, it's a little hard to say because I have my own trying to think positive issues and trying to tell myself, we can stop this. We can do anything. We can do anything. Never go by prophecy and visions and so on. But I know the laws of the universe. And I know, in general, the masses as I now see them to have proven themselves to be, they must receive hard time pain in order to learn. They cannot and they will not learn until a good ton of people are hurt badly. Mm-hmm. And I mean many of them dead. So yeah. At this point, that's what I see, and I know it's unavoidable. The masses already proved that is their soul types, and those soul types have to experience pain,
right,
in order to learn. They can't. They are not going to fight.
How would you put it from a statistical measure? Would you say it's 50-50 amongst the population, or a different ratio entirely of those that are aware versus those that are not? You know, how would you state it?
I think it's very close to 50-50. That's exactly my mark because so many of them are so ignorant or so compromised in one way or another. That could be medically, mentally, physically, or ideologically. So many are compromised and already fully believe in all of the other basically world dictator scenarios. They're already hooked. They're already in. So like about 50% by the time the New World Order religion comes around, which is the reason I brought up Maitreya as most utmost important, is because people don't understand why I kept saying when I came on here years ago, I said, you don't understand the complexity of what they're going to do. The psychology is so deep and so in depth and so convincing.
Right.
At least around half of the people on the entire planet are going to fall for that Maitreya type.
When you say a Maitreya type, would that be comparable to, say, Antichrist or some kind of Luciferian, paradigm, something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, and exactly. And some kind of New Age version, love and light, we're all one, and share and give. And by the way, you have to anyway. See, they give themselves an out. They say they see the future and they know the future, the masters and so on. But then they say, well, we don't know what you're really going to decide. So, it could go different. They just gave themselves an out. Okay, that's a lie. Masters are supposed to be able to see the future, period. And that is what the Christian and related religions revolve around entirely. I'm God. I proved I was God because I told you what is going to happen, and it did happen. And that is how you will know who I am and that I'm right, and that you must follow this religion forever until you're guaranteed to die. And then I'll bring you back to life and you'll all be happy forever and ever. Okay. It revolves around prophecy, specifically proving the future, period. That's what it all revolves around. That's its center.
Well, but look, if you could say, and I kind of tend to feel what you're saying about this 50-50 ratio. You have to think, though, if it's 50% of the people are weak or easily misled, and then 50% are more like us, then don't you think that's kind of like what they are symbolically calling the civil war, the spiritual warfare? It's like a fight between two sides in this sense.
Yeah, you are getting a civil war.
Yeah.
you're getting a civil war, fast or quick or whatever. It already began, but it will end official. It will officially start from our side pretty soon. No one should take. They're going to fight you until you either are all dead, everybody on Earth, every church is knocked down, every building is burned to the ground, period, every one of them, and or they've completely won with no resistance, or you'll resist at some point sooner or later. But what I know is that they know it doesn't matter. They already determined that whenever we rise up, no matter when it is, early or late, they're still going to win. And they prefer.
You don't believe, though, and there's the theory out there that these elite New World Order people are actually kind of losing it, and they're getting stupider, and they're just desperate. Or you don't believe that? I hope
that's true. I do see some evidence of that, but I never count on that. I count on them being much greater than me. And if they can figure out, see, if I could do what I planned on by the time I was like 12, 13, 14, and 15, then I know they've at least hired or captured and used the world's super geniuses on every level across the globe for eons. And they've made a perfect program, pretty invincible. And the robot issue, I meant to say, the robots, the real secret attack killer hunter robots, they're not going to use any computer chips we have today. They're not going to have power packs of lithium. They have free energy generators. Period. Free energy.
Okay. Right.
They're not going to run out of energy. They're not going to tire out and have to plug in. You got it, people? They have free energy robots that are, some are going to be invisible. Literally, you can't see them. Some are going to be some are going to be swimming in the water. Some are going to be able to fly or float. Some are literally going to be a car.
If I can get a word in edgewise somewhere here, please.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Nick. Go ahead.
Thanks. So, yeah, Bill, you are one of the sweetest hearts I've ever met, okay? But your mind is completely given over. I mean, you are so, you're quite obsessed with how things are. And that's maybe not a bad thing. I mean, like you say, you're a part of it. You broke away from it. And so there's going to be some obsession. And I think you're using it for a healthy reason. But let me make a suggestion, Bill, please. And make it multifaceted, this suggestion, okay? Find solutions, okay? And find solutions other than kill, fight, slab, dust, burn, get that, you know what I'm saying?
I've already gone through the solutions, and that's good advice, and, you know.
Bill, you have talked a little bit about, but one thing you said was, I know they're greater than me. Well, yeah. Instantly you've resigned yourself, and you've basically given over to their power. And that is what gives them power.
No, that takes power away. When you
Bill, you saying that they're greater than you gives them power. Period.
Okay? No,
if
no,
you
it
think
doesn't.
That gives them power, that's what I'm trying to help you with. Is
assessing properly assessing the enemy is
again and again and assessing. Bill, you've assessed for the last 40 minutes, okay? And, you know, I would love to tune into your show, but that's all it is, obsessing and obsessing. You just made me realize those are two very similar words for a reason. And, Bill, you don't focus. You almost have no interest in solutions.
No, I understand the solutions.
But you don't talk about them. And what I'm talking about is what you talk about.
In a way I do, in a way I don't, but listen, I don't really do the shows I really plan or really want to do in the way I want to do them. I'm like,
so you come on Noreen's show and do a show that you don't plan to do and you don't really want to do.
Kind of, but the thing
that's what I'm trying to help you redirect so that you can steer all this energy into productivity instead of telling everybody how bad it is all the time.
No, no.
And
people,
basically,
people,
what you're doing is you're, whatever hope people have, you're basically soaking away like a sponge because you're basically telling them it's hopeless.
No, no, I'm not. Listen, I'm telling people what
I'm not saying you're consciously saying that. I'm saying that is the message you're portraying.
No, no. See that? No. No, listen, listen. Those people, they're already gone. Second of all.
What people? What those people? Who are those people?
The ones who are going to see that as hopeless. All right. What I'm trying to tell you is.
Bill, you're one of those people.
Now, listen. Listen.
Still here, thank God.
Listen. As it is, as everyone believes the situation is, they believe in themselves too much, and I know that means they are going to lose. Everyone is going to lose based on
is the Illuminati going to lose, because even if they defeat us, they will then defeat each other. So either way, they lose. The Illuminati plan is a losing proposition for everybody. Never forget that.
No, it's
so
not.
When we defeat them, we actually help them. Most of the people that are working for the Illuminati are the ones that we can help save as well, because they're going to be the first to go anyway.
Sort of, but it's not entirely true. And people believe they understand who is right and wrong and who is good and bad and who's going to win and evil always wins.
People don't know squat about right from wrong right now. And basically, I'm accusing you of... you know, with respect of supporting that, of making sure people stay in confusion.
No, no, you, I, what I am saying is your only hope. You don't have any hope other than what,
Bill.
No, forget it. You don't.
Bill, you are not my only hope. And if you were, I would probably slit my wrist right now.
Okay. What I say generally to tell people how bad and how strong and smart they are.
Again and again. How many times do you think you
have to repeat? Because people keep talking about the niceties and the softness and how strong.
It's not about niceties. It's about the truth. It's about how we can fix this thing. And basically the way we fix it is to get our minds out of the violence mindset.
No.
People think that it's human nature to be violent and selfish. That is not our nature, okay? Our nature is what we determine it to be. We're the only species on this planet who can determine our own nature, our own destiny. And I believe that what you're doing is you're putting us right back into the dogmatic belief that we are just victims of circumstance.
No,
create our own circumstance, period. And you can say no all you want. I don't care how much you say no, and no, and you're wrong, and no. Everything I say, you say no. I get that, okay?
Right.
I don't care how much you say no. We can determine our own destiny. Go ahead.
You can determine it by shaping it by doing, of course, but what I'm telling you is you will have to physically fight. You will not win any other way at all.
Okay, but how many times do you have to say that?
Every time.
Well,
people
your show, I can't listen to your show because that's all you talk about.
People are falling for the constant delusion of keep saying, oh, be peaceful, be political, political. It's like Alex Jones saying, I'm going to
be peaceful. I don't hear anybody saying be peaceful. I don't hear anybody saying that. What I hear people saying is get your guns, load up with guns, get more bullets. That's what I'm hearing people saying. I'm hearing people say, get ready for all of this and all that. Well, how long do we have to listen to that? For 20 years, we've been talking about getting more guns, surrounding your house with gasoline so you can burn it all down when they come. It's like, I'm just so tired of that.
Most people do not do that, and they do need to do it. See,
Bill, we've been doing it for 20 years. We haven't had to burn our houses down to fend them off. And I'm telling you, I appreciate your prediction. My prediction is for the next 20, 30, 50 years, we're still not going to have all these guns. We're still not going to have all this firefight. We're still not going to have to burn our houses down. But we can sure talk about it for the next 20 or 30 years and preoccupy ourselves with that instead of talking about real solutions.
No, the solutions are, every solution. We need every solution. But you're not going to win unless you fight to the death. That's it.
No.
I'm positive. I am the super genius elite who came up with the whole take over the world plan. You need to listen to me.
No, I'm not listening
wow,
to you.
Wow, what the hell?
I will never listen to you.
Listen, the people need to know what they're up against because they keep thinking they're going to more easily
people
get out of it.
People know what they're up against. They already know.
No, they don't.
They already know. Yes, they do.
They do not. No, they don't.
They do so subconsciously.
Listen, it's because
of the knowledge of what they were up against.
It's because of people like me that years and years and years ago started putting the seeds out there to, for people to talk about. Now they're finally saying most of what I've been saying, most of it, not everything.
Well, they're saying a lot of things I've been saying too. Guess what?
No, I know, and I agree with a lot of things you say. It's just, but you're still
well,
too pacified.
You know what? We need. I'm too pacified.
Yes, you're too.
If you knew, maybe I need to come on your show because if you knew how anti-pacifist I am, you would not have ever accused me of that.
Yeah, but you're still trying to talk your way out and could convince
talk
people.
Talk my way out. What I'm talking about to get us out of this is on a spiritual sense. It's got nothing to do with talking.
You're fighting people that have super weapons and they plan to use them.
I'm
period.
Not fighting anybody. You're fighting. You're fighting yourself.
I don't mean you. I mean people, okay? The world.
Well, then say we, not you.
Yeah, but that's what we're all fighting. That's what we're up against, in other words. It's going to be violent.
Thank you, guys. Wow, that finally kicked in. This has been a great conversation. This is Noreen Hellbound, Wild at Heart, Roundtable Show. I want to thank Nick and Bill Brett for coming on. Thanks, you guys. And see you guys next week, okay?
Bye. Bye. Night.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We gotta stop them. They're gonna kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear?